Welcome back, Chris, now that
Hello.
I'm able to peek in a little bit, just that we're close. So, since we have it recording now, we can at least start this interview so that we have something before the episode, and we can kind of use this as a mic check, too.
Okay.
But, so, you traveled all the way around every single Great Lake in one go, in one summer. Why'd you do it?
Why? That's a really good question. Well, I've kind of been thinking about that a little more because you don't necessarily always think about that when you decide to do crazy things like this. But I've been a traveler and an explorer my whole life. And so I've always got that itch, the need to go off and see something else. I think it's really important for me in my own life to see other cultures and see other different places in the world so that I can shape my own view of the world and, you know, how I live my life. So, but, I don't know, I guess when we started thinking about it and, we biked down the west coast of the United States from just south of Canada to the Mexican border in 2008. And I think from there we decided that we wanted to do something on Lake Superior, and from there it spawned into the Great Lakes, and then from there it spawned into the Great Lakes system, which is now what we tell people when we do it about our trip, is we biked around the Great Lakes system.
Okay.
It did include the St. Lawrence Seaway, but...
Yeah, I saw you went a little bit further. It's like, did you take a side trip or something like that? So it's... what body of water is that? It's the...
The St. Lawrence Seaway.
Okay.
So the Great Lakes system includes all five Great Lakes and the St. Lawrence Seaway. And the St. Lawrence Seaway was built in the 50s, I think, and it was made to connect the ocean to the Great Lakes.
Yeah.
Like a very big byway. They moved a lot of towns and moved a lot of water and land to make it happen. But... yeah, it's like the official connector of the Great Lakes. Before that, there was the, I can't remember the name of it, but there was the canal that went through New York to New York City from the Great Lakes.
Huh.
That's how people got to the Great Lakes before then. But now it's the St. Lawrence River and the St. Lawrence Seaway. So essentially we left from Duluth, Minnesota on Lake Superior, and we went source to sea. Right past Quebec City on the St. Lawrence Seaway is where the Great Lakes meet the ocean.
Oh, wait, I've been to that Seaway, because I went to Quebec City.
Oh, yeah, you definitely went on it.
Yeah, and that's, okay.
As you know, then, like, in Quebec City is where the river just, you know, opens up.
Yeah, it explodes.
Exponentially. So, yeah, right past that is where the ocean meets, where the water starts getting salty and beluga whales come up and stuff. It's really cool.
Wow.
That's cool.
But basically... You know, after all that talking, the whole point of the trip, we wanted to do something around the Great Lakes, and we decided that we were going to circumnavigate them by bicycle. And, you know, our first trip was just about us. And this trip in the end is about us. We like to explore, you know, we like to go and see different places, but we made it about other people this time. And so, we filmed the whole thing, and we're making a documentary to show people what the Great Lakes are all about through our bike trip. I've met a lot of people throughout the world and even in our own country who don't know what the Great Lakes even are. So we're just trying to show people why they're so special, and we did that through a bike trip. So we shared on our blogs, you know, our daily, you know, we had our daily journals uploaded so people could read about our trip every day. And you know, Facebook and our website, but yeah, we're hoping to write a book, and we're definitely in the process of going through all our footage to make a feature documentary. So, yeah,
so very cool.
With wow. That, I mean, I know that you had camera folk with you from Duluth up to Canada, right?
Or yeah, right to the Canadian border. And that guy's actually he's our editor. His name is Jay Lewis with Vika Films. And so he's going through all the footage with Zach because, you know, that's not my realm. I really don't know anything about that. I'm more of the PR guy, and, you know, I'm a teacher. So I'm getting all of our big presentations, you know, that we'll use throughout the country together.
Right. Don't you have one coming up in Duluth in February?
Yeah, we do. We have one coming up at Duluth PAC in February, and then we're going to be the keynote speakers at the University of Michigan in March.
Cool.
Wow.
And then we're just, you know, slowly getting some more together, but, you know, we'll probably talk for schools and different organizations. I'm trying to set some up with the Environmental Protection Agency. They do like a presentation series and stuff like that. So,
with all of that, talking on the PR side of things, I know that there was a lot of coverage from the Duluth paper. I saw the infographic of the route, and I saw at least one article through that. But how did you run into a lot of other press while you were taking the trip?
Well, we did and we didn't. We had, you know, our main news source was Sam Cook at the Duluth News Tribune. He's a really great guy. He's been around for a long time. He's an outdoor writer. He's written a lot of books. And I've met him a few times. So it was really, you know, quite an honor to be able to work with him and mm-hmm. have him follow us. But, you know, we had about 5 or 6 news stations. We had a little press conference the morning we took off.
Mm-hmm.
But the day before, Bill Hudson from WCCO came up and did a video interview with us.
Cool.
And, we met a few papers along the way. Like what I did is, I can't remember the website, but there's like a Google Map interactive map. And it shows all the news sources, the newspaper sources throughout the world on this map. And you can click on their icon and it has their website and all their information. So we emailed all of the news stations around the Great Lakes and tried to get them on board, tried to spread our word. And through that, we got more people, you know, supporting us. And, you know, it actually helped us get a lot of people that were just like, hey, I don't know you, but come stay with us. You know, we saw you on the news. That sounds awesome. But I think our biggest interview, we did an interview with CBC Radio in Quebec City, and we were heard throughout Canada on our radio interview. So it was pretty cool.
Nice.
Wow. Yeah.
Did you ever read the book Round Ireland with a Fridge?
No.
Tony Hawk's. It's basically instead of going around bodies of water, this guy just kind of went around the outside of Ireland. But okay. He also had to tote like a college size fridge with him. You know, like
did he use it? I mean, was it on?
No, it wasn't on. It was one of those plug-in things. Oh. But I think if you looked into that, you'd see a lot of parallels and possibly some writing potential. Like,
okay, that's awesome.
What's it? It's creative nonfiction kind of stuff.
Uh huh.
Yeah.
Well, that's really cool. I wrote that down. I'll look into it.
Yeah, Tony Hawk's. It's just like the skateboarder.
Oh, nice.
It's not him. It's just somebody has the same name. So every time gotcha. Everyone hears, it's just like, why would a skateboarder go around Ireland with a fridge?
Yeah. Well, and as you know, you hear all sorts of stories all the time. But, you know, like I said, you know, people travel for a variety of reasons. But, you know, the main thing is to, you know, do something cool, but to see new cultures. And, you know, the people that you hear about are the people that want to spread a specific message or, you know, write a book about their experience to try to get other people to go out and do stuff like that. And, you know, it's really easy to go out and do a trip. You just have to have the motivation to do it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I know trips cost money, but, you know, I don't spend my money on big screen TVs or things like that. You know, the money I make, you know, is used geared for the next trip or the next adventure.
Right.
So,
do you already...
It's a priority for me. It's not a priority for everyone.
Yeah. But are you already scheming on the next big thing, or is it all power to production?
It's all power to production right now. I mean, we planned this trip for a year and a half before we even took off.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's almost November, so we're almost 2 years into it now.
Wow.
And it'll probably be, it'll probably be another year before like the video is, you know, out in production, DVDs, Netflix, you know, we're trying to enter the film festival circuit. So, you know, ideally it would be amazing to see our film in like the Banff Mountain Film Festival or something like that.
Oh, but, yeah.
You know, we have a long ways to go. trying to get all of our bands in order so we can use their music. You know, and then if we want to write a book, we have 100 pages of diaries, so we have a good start.
Yeah, just a little bit.
Wow.
Yeah, but I don't know. You know, there's a lot of work, but I don't know. I think I might next summer go putz around South America on my bike. You know, I've always wanted to go to South America, especially on a bike, and see places like Patagonia and, you know, Machu Picchu. But I don't know what the next big adventure is. It's hard to top this one.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's not about besting yourself. You know, that's not why we go out and do it. But, you know, we biked 5,500 miles in 97 days with only 7 days of rest. So essentially we biked that in 90 days. And, you know, it took us a couple months to, like, fully mentally and physically recover.
I imagine so.
Yeah, wow.
But, you know, we're also the first to do it.
First to go around the Great Lakes, a Great Lakes system.
Exactly. There's a couple girls, there's like four or five girls last summer that did it, but they didn't really circumnavigate the lakes. They just kind of did a big circle. Their trip was like 3,000 miles roughly in like 70-something days. But yeah, we're the first to circumnavigate the Great Lakes by bicycle. So
nice.
But, you know, that wasn't the point of the trip, obviously. You know, we have obviously had a lot of other goals, but it's nice. It's kind of nice being first, but it's kind of hard to top that.
Now, does that cool. get recorded somewhere official? Like, is that a Guinness level thing, or is that like shortest time to circumnavigate on bikes?
Right. Well, it could be. You know, we just didn't want to do that. Like, it wasn't our goal to do that, and I did apply to Guinness and to another place called World Records Academy.
Uh-huh.
But it's roughly, get a world record like that, it's roughly like $6,000 of Guinness.
Hmm.
Get a world record. Because, you know, they have a website and plaques and books, and they have to send a judge out from England or wherever it is.
Right.
You know, so... Hey, Chris. And it ends up being like $6,000, and World Records Academy was like $3,000, and it's just not something...
It's not necessary. It's not a part of the puzzle.
It's not, yeah, it's not necessary to get a piece of paper saying that you're the first when you are the first. So it's just not really a priority. It never was for us, so... But yeah, it's just super expensive.
Yeah. Well, Chris, we're going to take a second. I assume that you're on Wi-Fi right now. Yes. Then could both of you make sure your phones have your Wi-Fi off? Yes. Just because, Chris, toward the end of that, you got a little bit garbled.
Yeah.
And, you know, most syllables were coming through, but we're just trying to take any preventive measure possible to...
Economize.
keep the signal clean. Unless, I mean, if everything's sounding good, which, you know, we need to get
you're
a little bit
more... sounding good from my end. Just the screen is freezing a little bit, but I'll turn my Wi-Fi off as well just for... on my phone for the time being.
Is your connection wired? Like, is your computer connection wired, or is that
no,
wireless?
No, it's Wi-Fi.
Yeah,
not a whole lot I can do about it. I don't even have a cable, so.
are you just mooching off a neighbor or something?
No, we do. It's just the Wi-Fi is in, like, the basement, you know.
Oh, okay, so, okay.
Somewhere weird, you know, and I don't even have a cable to, you know, connect into it at this point, so.
A Knable to connect.
A Knable.
So one thing I wanted to throw in as an extra question about this is, where did the financing come from? Like, is it all self-financed?
A lot of it was self-financed. You know, we had, I think it was like 15, 16 sponsors. You know, they're all on our website. We have all our sponsors on the back of our jerseys. But... you know, certain sponsors gave us money, and certain sponsors gave us free gear, and certain sponsors gave us, like, discounted gear. So, like, Keen Shoe Company, they gave us a free pair of biking shoes.
Oh, nice.
Wow.
And then they gave us, like, 80% off anything else. So, you know, I got a pair of sandals and, like, 10 pairs of Merino socks, and same with Icebreaker Clothing Company, like Merino Wool. they gave us like, you know, 75-80% off. So, you know, we probably got between the two of us $5,000 to $10,000 worth of gear, but it only cost us like, you know, a grand or so.
Nice.
You know, in the end. But then like Sierra Club donated $500 for our one of our cameras.
Oh, okay.
So we went out and got like a $900 camera for you know, $500 during Black Friday.
Oh.
But and GoPro, you know, they gave us, those were our other cameras we used. Those were like 80% off. So we got everything super cheap. Wow. But most of it was self-financed. We did have a lot of donors, which really helped out a lot. But the other big part about the self-financing thing is we actually stayed with quite a few people along our trip. So, you know, they made us meals and we had a free place to stay. So that really cuts down on your budget, you know, in the end.
Yeah,
definitely.
So that was, you know, a lot of people don't think about that in terms of like a donation, but it really is, you know, because, you know, two or three meals and a place to stay for one or two days is, you know, that can be, you know, $100+ easily.
Yeah.
Especially on where you find yourself at the end of a day when you're biking.
Yeah, exactly. So our trip, we camped for about 70 days and then we stayed in about four or five hotels, and then the rest was staying with people. You know, whether it was someone who saw us on the news or saw our website and, you know, wanted us to stay with them. We even had local bike groups come out and bike with us, and then we stayed with them.
Cool.
Wow.
But another website we used, and it's a weird-sounding website, but it's called warmshowers.com. it's like a couchsurfer.com.
Right,
yeah.
But it's for bike tourists, and it's been around for, you know, a number of years. But it's strictly for bike tourists. And it's same principle as Couchsurfer. You have a profile, and they have an interactive Google map showing where everyone is. So we would look at all the people on our route and contact them saying, like, hey, we're going to be here on this day. Do you think we'd have a place to stay? And, you know, 95% of the time they'd say yes, and we're really excited about it. And it's cool to be with other bike tourists because – they know the right information and advice to give you for the next leg of your trip. So, yeah, it was really great.
Cool.
Yeah.
So I think I think that wraps up the interview itself really well.
For sure.
And now we'll do a quick mic check so that we can get Jeff zeroed in as well.
Oh, hey, I just also wanted, I want to say one more thing.
Go for it, go for it.
If people, you know, the video will be coming out next year. And if, you know, any of your listeners out there are, you know, work for publishing companies, we'd love to try to get a book. So, but people can learn more about us at bigwaterbike.com or on Facebook at Big Water Bike.
Nice. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, thank you so much.